All right, everybody, welcome to the 2025 predictions episode podcast. How we all doing? It's been quite a year. It's been quite a year for Super Freak, for myself, for you guys, those of who have been doing this work for over a year or who have been with me from the very beginning are seeing massive shifts. And I know that because I read all of your letters and all of your emails and all of your messages to me. And, you know, I get way more than I actually share, and I share quite a bit. And so your feedback and your testimonies really mean a lot, and it helps other people feel safe to move into this level of work and what this work actually looks like and means. And it's been an honor to serve you all. And I look forward to continuing to do so in 2025, which is the reasons why I launched the programs that I have launched. And I will focus on them specifically with less one-to-one work and more group work, because I can have a bigger impact that way and we can go deeper. And the more people who find this work, the more popular quantum work becomes, and it will. Soon, in the next decade, frequency work will be, like mindfulness is in terms of buzzword. More people will be able to identify their own patterns psychosomatically within the body and be able to understand the mechanics of how to transmute them. And I'm happy to be at the forefront of that. And people have been before me, but it's maybe gotten lost in translation, or the consciousness at the time just couldn't absorb what that was. You know, we're coming off of the New Age cult, where everything was about law of attraction. And we're coming off of The Secret, and we're coming off of the light worker language. And that's still going to be prevalent, but spirituality for the most part has become a cult. And there's a level of narcissism that is reaching an all-time high. And you're going to start seeing this in dismantle this idea that somehow there's this elite group that knows more than you and has a different access to you than you, and therefore they're better than you. And I certainly try very hard not to come across that way. And believe me, I'm in this work with you guys too, and I'm sharing my experience more than I'm sharing anything else. And it's imperfect for sure. There's just a level of access that I have to myself. That's why I'm teaching the mechanics of it, so you guys can do this for yourself. There should never be anybody in between you and your own divinity. There can certainly be helps and guides and translators and catalysts, no different than, like Neo going to Morpheus to train, to learn how to basically take on himself, which is something else I'll talk about in a minute too. But so I want to go over the programs quickly, and then I'll move into the prediction podcast. So The Healers Hub is for those who have been doing a ton of work but need to understand the mechanics of what space locality is. It's a different language set. This is for those who need to know how to stabilize through detox. I really wish I would have had it from the beginning, because it would have helped you guys a lot, because you guys have detox, because I threw you into programs that were probably too advanced for some of you. And the detox was really, really, really tough. And it could have been a little bit easier had I had, this information earlier, but I didn't. So there it is. I think it was probably also like a patience within myself to be able to really hold people in different spaces of where they are. So don't sleep on the Healers Hub, you guys. I wish I would have had it. And it's going to be a blended group of people who have done a lot of work, but you're entering a new paradigm. You might be highly advanced in a level of energetic work, or you want to just learn how to read for yourself. But this level of work, you're new in it. I had to humble myself in the same way. So the Healers Hub is for those who are really needing to move through self-sabotage patterns, kickstart the programming language, understand what quantum psychosomatic work is. And I would say it's like part one of the book into part two of the book. And even parts of part three. So I'm going to work a lot and talk about a lot of about the body and the nervous system and the organs of the body and where patterns are held in the body. And the groups are going to be focused on really, really helping you understand the baseline principles and some advanced principles of space-time mechanics. And you can have access to different meditations and stuff that I'll drop in from the shop. So if you're new to this work, if you're new to me, even if you've been with me for a while, but you need to know how to stabilize and learn how to stabilize through detox, the Healers Hub is going to be the place for you. And it's extremely accessible. It's a monthly membership. And I'm really looking forward to being able to hold you guys in that space. The Pattern Academy is something I kind of hold dear to my heart because I have never seen a program like it. And it's what I love the most about what I do, which is pattern identification. And it's what you guys ask me the most. Talia, you're going to be teaching this. So how do you teach pattern recognition? Are you going to be teaching quantum psychosomatic stuff? How do you read frequencies? And you guys all want to know how to do that. And there is a process to all of this. I need you to settle into being able to learn and being able to stabilize through these processes, okay? And then be on your own. My average with people is 2 years. 2 years. And that is an incredibly short period of time for you to be able to get a handle on your own shit, read patterns, clear them, and then be on your own. And then when you're ready to create your own framework, that's the sovereign system. So the Pattern Academy is for pattern identification. It's going to be all about very detailed and very nuanced ways to identify the patterns. And you'll be able to work with me one-on-one on that. It's a special group. So for those who are ready just to kind of jump in to really, really a deeper level of clearing and you have no problem with detox and you're just ready to fucking like helter skelter, step on the gas, High Voltage Mastermind is for you. Again, I probably should have had two groups last year because there were people who were advanced, who were sailing through it and are like completely on the other side of it going, yeah, I detox like hell, but I'm here for it, right? Like you all wanted it. The group got tremendous benefits from it. And then by the time month six came, people were flattened, which is fine, which is all good. So there's a handful of people who are doing both and the Pattern Academy and HVM. And you're already starting to clear and you've been with me for, I don't know, 8 months. I mean, this work is fast. And it's an honor to be able to guide you guys in that. I don't know how long I'll be doing this. I can already sense that I will be used in a different capacity soon. But this year is going to be focused on these groups and helping you guys come wildly online, identify patterns for yourself, clear for yourself, and start really getting that coherence between how you feel on the inside and your external realities. That takes the longest time. Your external reality not matching what's happening on the inside. But some of you are coming to me as like crisis management. Like I want that promotion, Tally, and just work on me with just money. Or I just want this, Tally. I want to, you know, make sure that this particular presentation goes really, really well. Work on me. Or I want to have a baby. I need you to work on me. And like, as much as all of that's fine, it just is not how this works. Yes, I can move you into the highest possible timeline and trajectory for all involved. But if you're not doing the inner work necessary in order to hold the vision of that, then it will fall flat every time. And then, you know, you'll blame the work. And I hope that you don't, because I know the work works because I've seen it in my life. I wouldn't be teaching it the way that I teach it and the nuances to which I teach it if it wasn't working in my life. And literally I've gotten everything I've asked for. From the time I got back into the States, everything I've gotten, exactly what I've asked for. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. It's the coherence, that feedback loop is really, really getting tight now. And I was like, okay, I think I started to really, I got a whole other set of programming and dynamics and information and ways to teach now. And it's like what I told you guys, I was like, I've been waiting for this information to come in since I started. So I focused on individual work because I needed to at the time to be able to get the data, to be able to write the book. So it kind of all worked out perfectly. So the sovereign system is for people who have already been kind of in the game of pattern identification, muscle testing. You guys are kind of have your spidey senses kind of turned on and you're ready to create your own framework and navigate the world from a place of fundamental authenticity. So you have a handle on it. And let's say you're already clearing and you're working with people, and then you need a second set of eyes to help you craft it and work from a different level order, creating your own iOS, like how I've done it. And how you choose to express your own fundamental authenticity and the way you work on people is up to you. And by the way, if you want to use quantum potential in anything that you're doing. You could be an influencer. You could be a mom. Okay. You could be like a wife. You could be a librarian, but you have this way about you that you see the world and you want to utilize quantum potential in your life. The sovereign system would be a great one for that too. So you have this trajectory, right? Here's your kind of, people love linear path and they love steps. So I'm doing my best to give you kind of like a four-step process. Some of you might jump into step two and then go from there and kind of take the more advanced route and then kind of stabilize in it, or like really stay in a comfortable container to grow. So for example, there's a handful of like, Tally, what should I do? And I was like, hey, look, I'm not the arbiter of your spiritual experience, but where you are right now, I wouldn't even approve you for this program. Like you need to go back into this one, or this and this. And then like in 6 months, give yourself like a 2-month window, and then jump into the fall programs or jump into the sovereign system after that. So it's more important for you to safely expand into yourself than to get jolted into it and then have to restabilize. Like I have pushed myself way too far before. I have jumped way too, quote unquote, jumped, right? Quantum jumped, which is not even a thing, but I have expanded and pushed my potentiality and I have kind of paid for it. And it's fine because I'm a full throttle kind of lady. So I'm going to push my own boundaries all the time and then learn, right? That's how I learn. And if I'm shown the information and given the opportunity to kind of see how far I can take that jump, it's kind of like lifting too many weights and then you strain and hurt yourself and you have to heal. It's kind of what's happened several times. And what that looks like is pushing myself way too far, getting into like interdimensionality, and I have no idea how to get myself back to zero. And that's kind of a wild place to be, actually, when you're in nothing and you are nothing. And then you have no center and you can't create a zero point because you start to get tired or you start to second guess, or you don't really know what you're doing and there's no safety net and you're just total darkness. And then all this other stuff starts to happen and you're like, fuck, how do I find myself back to zero? There is no Hansel and Gretel, you know, it's the Wild West when you do this kind of work and you're trying to navigate the multiverses in a single point of time in a body. You're like, this is crazy. What is this? So I say all of that because February to July is going to be a very transformational time for the collective. And it's specifically why I've given people a chance to catch up in January and then go full throttle for 6 months. And there'll be intro calls for January for the Healers Hub, which will be kind of this gentle entry. We'll have a couple of calls. You'll have some meditations to kickstart yourself in the Healers Hub. And then it's like, you know, gangbusters, the sovereign system for those who are signing up for that. We're going to start right away and get going. So check out the Choose Your Journey on tallymiller.com. All right. So now let's get into predictions. This can be kind of fun. So I'm going to go macro and then micro. Some of this came off of the Christ Consciousness call, and that call was kind of wowie on a multitude of levels. Like it was extremely expansive for me. And then I had to kind of do nothing for a week, to be honest with you. Like I pretty much just laid in bed for a week and barely kind of took care of myself. I'm laughing because I had like very little interest to do a whole lot after that week. Was very expansive for me. I had a series of 2 to 3 days where I had extremely expansive meditations, very elevated. And then I came off that call and had another like surge of energy kind of move through me. And then I had to stabilize, like really, really stabilize. And I'm still, the emotional integration stabilization piece for me has taken the longest time, which is kind of interesting. So I've had to work on my own generational inherited programming around deeper levels of like truly, truly having it all, and some scarcity programming and stuff like that. So I found some new ways and some interesting nuances to deprogram scarcity, which is kind of cool. It's been the fundamental transgenerational program that I've come in to work on for myself in the line. And it's good. I can see the shift. I can already see the shifts that have happened in the last year within that. And So it's kind of exciting. But yeah, after that call, there was some cool information that came up for like what we can expect for 2025. So I'm going to go on the macro and talk about like what's in the forefront of specifically the United States, and for 2025, where the collective is in this point of time, and then go into some micro nuances that I've seen and I'm picking up on in terms of trends and where we're going as a collective for this year. And I'll say, like, 2024 was the year to bet maxing yourself. This is a 9 number we're moving into. For those of you who are interested in numbers and numerology, I pay attention to some of that stuff sometimes because, again, everything is an algorithm and everything is cycles. We literally are an information entropy computer that is constantly learning on itself. And we go through, you know, 150-year data dumps, 200,000-year data dumps, 25,000-year data dumps, 100,000-year data dumps. You know, the collective gets a refresh. And then once that those data dumps happen, it goes into a void space. It's like a knowledge bank, similar to like a collective Akashic. Akashic is just a space. It's a library between the third and the fourth. It's but there's Akashics or you know, databases in every single dimensional order from now into eternity. And so the idea, when I say you get more access to yourself, the more you have access to yourself, which is strictly just deleting the illusion of separation between the God within yourself, the more knowledge you have access to. The more knowledge you have access to, the more, let's say, awareness you have beyond the veil of space and time. And then you can, you know, when you have that level of expansion and you can access it, you hold that level, and then you can interact with knowledge or consciousnesses at an instant. It's an instant kind of experience, which is what a lot of the Christ call was. So let's say beings that are stationed in the fifth dimension or D5, like a Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, which is an omnipresence consciousness, but they, let's say like a Jesus, for example, or Yeshua, created a pathway, a tunnel from the third to the fifth. And that was a big part of his mission here. And then anyway, I talk a lot about what, like, the mechanics of religion and kind of the legacy of religion in that call, which is available on the shop. So you guys can go grab that now if you wanted to. Interesting stuff. So let's get into it. Okay. So looking ahead at 2025, I see, you know, this is again coming off of some of the influence of the Christ consciousness call, and then what I've been feeling into in general, short term and then long term, the reconciliation of faith and spirituality. So there will be a shift towards the reinterpretation of traditional faith systems. And many people will seek to reconcile spirituality with their evolving worldview. This is likely due to growing skepticism of organized religion combined with a heightened awareness of the importance of personal spirituality, interconnection, and universal truths. So look for religious movements, look for institutionalized religion in favor of turn away from institutionalized religion in favor for more personalized spiritual practices, yoga, meditation, energy work. But this will create tension for some who still adhere to traditional views. So we're still going to see a tension between organized religion and this just deep hunger and thirst for a thread and a pulse of morality mixed with the reemergence of tradition and holding that together, and a moral fiber, okay, a moral set of codes. And religion gives people a safe level of structure. If you believe in nothing, that you will believe in everything. And if you have no God, if you have no kind of moral through line, even if you're agnostic and you don't believe, let's say, in a deity, and you don't necessarily know what God is, there has to be something else, like an underlining force that you do believe in, where there is an aspect that you are constantly learning from this energy. There is a humbling process that happens when you turn your life, quote unquote, kind of over to a divine will. Okay, even if you don't understand it, there is actually a power to that. And I'm not, like, encouraging anybody who is, you know, agnostic in this moment. I think that's all fine. You know, many people are. Religion is not what advanced beings, let's say avatar level beings or a Neo level, right? Someone who has awakened beyond the illusion, which many people are. And then that awareness beyond the illusion, you know, of separation between the God within yourself happens at various degrees. It's like 50 shades of gray, right? Those who have absolute awareness that is, I am present. It's just an absolute knowing that you are not separate from everything. Everything is a reflection of you. And then you navigate the world that way. And it was needed at these very specific times to help guide people towards an overall truth that there's a unified field of consciousness. We are all part of it. We are all fragment and part of the divine. And there is certainly a spiritual war. People are killing each other in the name of whoever. And that is not the move. That is a polarized experience of what religious or what religion looks like, which is not at all what is the I am consciousness in any way, whether or not you're praying to Allah, Muhammad, Jesus, Buddha, whoever, no deity, unified consciousness, whatever, or if you're practicing Buddhist tradition, none of it should come with murder of children. You know, that's not the move. But the practice, and this is what I believe to be true, is that God is an algorithm that is a deeply neutral, all permeating energy that is everything in all things, that is the purest form of reconciliation of any kind of polarity, duality, all of that. It's void of all of that. And it's seeking to understand itself. So it derived a consciousness that asked a question, who am I? And then the response in infinity and perpetuity is I am inter. And there comes the experience. So Earth is valuable because we came here to experience and learn. And then we are literally walking feedback loops. This is actually a good transition into what I see next. So besides this reconciliation of faith and spirituality, we will be moving into another like self-righteous spiritual war, whether before there was attack, right? There was an attack on spirituality and an attempt to remove it completely. Now you're going to see a double down on it and like a push towards spirituality, which just notice it, right? Just notice what that actually looks like, but also that there is divine beings who have the spark of the divine in their hearts, which is the torsion field energetically, okay, that have the ability to self-source, which is what I talk about all the time, and I talk about it in my book. Becoming the Real 1% is basically awakening to the knowledge, which is part 3 in the book, that you are not separate from the divine and not separate from the God within yourself. That is the answer, all right? I am, you know, I am pure indestructible consciousness experiencing, you know, the avatar known as Tali. All right. You are basically energy playing a character. And when you can really get your head wrapped around it and decide who that character is, right? Or how you want to experience and express this complex level of energy, then this becomes the game. That's where you gamify your experience. So you observe the observer observing itself, and that becomes multidimensionality. That's how you begin to see with more depth. So there's divine beings, and then there's human beings. Divine beings have an activation. They have an activation inside of them. They have the spark of the divine. And then there are those who are willingly giving up that divine spark in exchange for certainty, control, and safety. That is where you see the divine giving up free will. Okay, divine beings giving up free will to become an enslaved human being. This is where you see the kind of the divine versus the machine. So humans versus the machine. We're moving into a technological advancement, not war per se, but a separation of consciousness. So tech will create its own subsection of consciousness, which is macro. Okay, this is like up to 2030, 40, up to 2050, where there will be. So like 2030, for example, imagine getting contact lenses and everything that you witness and everything that you're seeing is like you make all your phone calls through your contact lenses. You are actively being tracked. So all of your information, everything you see, everything you're doing is essentially going into an AI consciousness that is creating what it wants you to think, knows you better than you know yourself. And that is already happening. The more that we use the machine for good or we use the machine for bad, right? We're going to be able to completely synthesize and come up with mathematical equations for all kinds of amazing things like sustainable agriculture, regenerative agriculture, tons of solutions. It's going to be amazing. Like having AI being able to process at the level that it can is an amazing tool, right? Like with anything, like with intention, there are going to be those who use it for nefarious reasons, and there are going to be those who use it to start to bridge nature and tech. But you're going to start to see this like war against the machine, human against the machine, really become prevalent. Everything is AI. Everything is artificial intelligence, virtual reality. You kind of don't know what's real and what's not real. AI is essentially showing you the evolution of humanity in robotic form. So you're going to see those, like right now is the time basically to double down on your divinity more than ever. Like literally nothing else matters other than strengthening the connection between you and the God within yourself, like period, the end. Everything comes from that connection. All the coherence that I talk about in the podcast before, identity, direction, and then having the right momentum, all that is predicated on having, of being cohered with your original blueprint and having you be able to access the highest expression of who you are from eternity to eternity. And then strengthening that connection and having that be so unshakable that you, it doesn't matter if you're unclear or you don't know, you have the trust and the quote unquote faith, which is what religion is trying to tell you. Okay. To have faith and be at war with God, which is just at war with yourself. Okay. Until you surrender so totally to the divine will within you that it becomes a gift, that humanity becomes a gift, that the body and experiencing the body becomes a gift. And you can look at life as such with gratitude. And most of you can actually feel that for fleeting moments. And that's really, really important, because if the nervous system has a recording of that, at least you have a reference point. There's some people who don't even know what it's like to feel safe in the body, even for a second. And if you can feel that, if you can feel true peace and then learn how to expand that space, then you're really starting to create some pretty amazing coherence. And like, you can do nothing for a year, but listen to these meditations and you will shift regardless, despite yourself. So if you do nothing but just focus on creating the coherence between that relationship, your highest self and service only to pure source, having that right identity with the right trajectory, then everything else takes care of itself. If you put that connection with your highest self in the center of your life and you have a united front with whoever you're in partnership with or whoever you're in alignment with or the people in your life have that same unified front, you will have a much happier life. You will feel good. And so, so another thing will be this war between technology and, or let's say amplified in, tension between the advancement of technology and the undermining of our divinity with those who are desperately fighting for their own sovereignty at every moment. There's a tenacity where come hell or high water, you're absolutely going to see this reality for what it is and not give up your free will. And so look for the double down of external surveillance and control systems. So super viruses, no shocker what's happening in California now with bird flu, totally manufactured, totally crazy. It's laughable how obvious it's getting now, where create the problem, insert government surveillance as the solution. At this point, social media is all CI operation. It's just surveillance CI operation. And if you really want to get a good handle about what it's like to, how it's already been told, how like history has already been written or the future has already been written based on what humanity has already done, like rewatch the Terminator movies and then rewatch The Matrix, because the founder of that, I can't remember her name, Shauna something, the writer, she created the Terminator series, which is the past of what the Matrix was like. Then the Matrix became the future. And all of those things are predicated on who we are being in the moment. It's kind of interesting. So external power dynamics and global tensions. Yeah. I mean, continue to look out for this, right? Global power dynamics are shifting, and the United States will continue to be involved in both geopolitical tension and economic challenges. This is just some of the stuff I wrote before I hopped on here, because I wanted to have some just talking points. related to influence and foreign powers. So China, Russia, European Union with emerging global powers and trade wars. So what does this actually look like? Political events, tension between China and the US, obviously, because we have trade tariffs on the front, which, by the way, tariffs simply are just a leverage negotiating tool. The US dollar is the global trading currency at the moment, and it's weakening because of how much we have overspent, and that we will continue to feel the effects of that for the next year. And I'll be very curious to see what happens with the tariffs and BRICS, which is, you know, all of these surrounding countries trying to come together to create their own currency to undermine the US dollar. So if you have extra cash, for those of you who are asset building right now, put it into things that have real value, like gold and minerals. And if you are trading on stock, which probably I'll do a whole other episode on, not a financial advisor by any means, choose some things that are, again, if you're conscious investing, you would do things that, you know, feel good to you. But there is a strategy to how you can invest and how to get started on that and not have it feel overwhelming, which I'll do another podcast on. But so external power dynamics and global tensions. Obviously, these things are going to continue. As we see cyclical things playing out that played out around the 80s and early 90s. So what was happening politically in, you know, the early 90s into the double zeros, which I'll get into, like how things play out in cycles and what we can look into or look at and how that relates to what 2025 and beyond is going to look like. So cost of living and economic stress. Obviously, this is going to continue to be a trend because of what has been inherited in the last 4 years, what has been done to this country and what has happened. So there is going to be a stabilizing period. Is 2025 going to be the same year for you that 2024 was, where there was a paycheck to paycheck experience, or you were making money, but you never really felt like you were getting ahead. And then all the money that you had, the discretionary money that you had, there's a knowingness to invest in yourself, but like you are investing and then kind of not seeing things happen fast enough. And then that brings on a whole other level of anxiety. So there, when I look at that, is there's going to be external political shit happening all the time. This is evolution. What we're experiencing now is very fast paced evolutionary pressure, and people either not being able to ride the wave, getting crashed by that wave, and being taken over by it, and or learning how to surf. So the entire thing that I'm talking about here with the work that I'm doing is teaching you how to ride the wave, okay? Ride these waves of evolution, not just like politically, geopolitically, you know, getting you guys to have the most like Instagram-worthy epic life, which everybody wants to highlight reel that feels like it's good, but getting you to ride the wave of yourself, of your own emotions, and your own relationship with the external environment, because none of that shit matters, right? None of this external shit matters. It's all here to help our evolution. And those pulses are getting even more and more pulsy. They're getting very intense. And y'all are having a hard time navigating it, which is what I'm here for. It's what I'm trying to help you with, is to reconcile the polarity inside of you and transcend it. And it is absolutely possible. I am 100% proof of that. And many of you are starting to feel that already. So what does this look like? A little more of the same, with a direction and a trajectory to find the middle ground. So there will be a whiplash, right? Swinging of a starvation for structure and tradition again, which is going to come by. That's why we saw the red wave. People are ready for more stability. They're ready to have a different set of leadership. And we're ready for probably at first, right, a hard clamp on trying to reverse having more government influence, which regardless of what you feel, having less government in your life is a good thing. We do not want more government. You do not want more surveillance. Trust me, it's just not the move. So look out for cities like New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, which will see growing homelessness at first until that reconciles itself, and migration to smaller cities because people are seeking more affordable living. You're also going to see housing bubbles start to burst in certain places, which again, this is not to bum you out. Just be aware of, just a heads up, like expect this, expect that, but also know that you are able to transcend and navigate and move through anything regardless. So car industry. Okay, so I've been seeing this for a little while. I'm feeling it. So we're at a bubble right now with the car industry. And I know that because I just had to go buy one. And I was like, wow, okay. The car industry is going to totally collapse. We're in a bubble right now. You can't charge like 8 and 9, 10% on a car. It's kind of fucking insane, right? So I was like, oh, the EV market, as much as people are like against that, there's a reason why people are moving to EV right now. It's almost like it's forced, right? It's like making things so unbelievably astronomically expensive for you to go into one of the, making something else as a solution. So inserting EV as a solution, inserting tech as a solution, inserting farm as a solution, inserting vaccines as a solution, the same thing. EV got, is essentially electronic vehicles are going to save the car industry. And people who are talking to me about like the EMFs that are available in electric cars, I totally get that. And also, I think that varies on where your level of resonance is. If you're really sensitive to that stuff, stay away from it. If you don't feel like a trajectory shift in your field, then you do you. But there is a totally different level of consciousness that is available when you actually start kind of embracing some of this stuff and learning how to ride the wave of evolution. I'm not saying like go out and get electric. I mean, believe me, you're getting like wildly tracked in these things. Plugging in a car kind of makes my fucking eye roll. Like we are all pansies. We're all doing this right now. And I have an electric car. That's what I bought because literally I got everything I fucking asked for. It was such a good deal for me not to say yes to. And I shot for the fucking moon and put it through a trust. And I mean, it was just so unbelievably easy. I can't imagine why I wouldn't say yes to something like that. But there's aspects of me that want to kick my own ass for sure. And you're six in one, half dozen in the other. So you kind of have to choose your level of hard and where you're going to reconcile that own polarity within yourself. And my intention with my life is to make my life wildly easy and be as coherent as I fucking can. And anyone who's going to make my life easy for me and that feels like in alignment with what I need right now and is wildly in flow and I don't, and it's like honoring to who I am is a fucking yes. So look out for the industry, the car industry probably having a collapse in the US and large scale shift to EVs, especially with the advancements in infrastructure and charging stations and all of that stuff. Look for the advancement of that. I mean, there's just so many cars between GM, Ford, Chrysler that are going into bankruptcy because they have to do major restructuring. environmental regulations are another thing, which I think there should be, but you can't have regulations on cars and not have them on private jets. Their logic of that makes absolutely no fucking sense. So all of these people who are crying climate change and then fly around private 19 different locations in a week are just big fat fucking hypocrites. So I'm out on that deal. Next, I see the weakening of the American dollar. Of course, we're going to have that with things like continued inflation and rising national debt. So how do you navigate that is, again, just do what you can. Put the best food in your body that you can afford, right? Cook as much as you can if that's where you're at. And for those of you who are just like kind of thriving or like right now, it's like, hey, I know that I saw this coming. We're diversifying. We're doing some things over here and we're going to be able to ride this wave. Anyway, it's like what I said earlier, start moving some of those things into assets like gold. So that could be as simple as like, if I'm going to make any type of investment this year, like to make macro decisions. Okay. In 2025, I'm going to take $5,000 and put that into a CD that will get me, 2 to 3 to 5 to 6 to 7% interest back. Okay. Or I'm going to take this for this year. I'm going to invest in this program and I'm going to focus on this part of my life. Okay. I'm just going to focus on clearing this pattern around belief and self-sabotage. Self-belief and self-sabotage, I'm going to focus on that pattern. I'm going to invest in this program, and then I'm going to save up this much money and invest it in something, in, like I said, a CD that gets me 6%, or I'm going to buy, you know, 2 or 3 shares of gold. That would be my macro for 2025. If you actually set these systems up for yourself, at the end of 2025, you're going to feel wildly successful with the year, because these little decisions at the macro level, the bigger ones, are the ones that will pay off dividends in 15 years from now than worrying about like how much coffee you're spending every month, right? For some of you, I understand like every single dollar counts, and soak up the free shit that I have to offer for now, and you will change, you will shift. Okay, so what do I see going on in the micro? Because there has been so much political tension, so much exhaustion, you're going to start to see during periods of times like this, and this has just been a cyclical thing, and I'll talk about kind of drawing parallels to present day, the last like 25 to 100 years, specifically with regards to life, death, and rebirth. You see these big evolutionary shifts where people have they become very nostalgic, okay? They become very nostalgic for a period of time when shit was really good. And the late 90s and the early double aughts, it was a balanced budget, and the Democratic Party wasn't what it was today. And, you know, the Red Party was the warmonger party, and the Blue Party was like, bro, what are we doing? So microcosms of subversive cultures, really, really interesting art. I think all of that's coming back. You're going to start to see hybrid things that don't necessarily make sense coming together, because you're going to see an emergence of art, because when people are bummed out, they make good art, right? Or they seek to go into their communities. So the rise of micro communities and literally the dying off of social media, which I have talked about. So I'm actually really excited by that, because people want to get outside and they want to reconnect. And I feel that more now than ever. So, you know, there's kind of these subcultures that are, there was Daybreaker in Los Angeles for a long time, and New York when I was living and traveling between the two coasts for a long time, where it was like 5 a.m., you'd say nothing, you'd just be on a boat and dance. Now what's happening in these places is coffee shops are inviting DJs, and there's like 10 a.m. dance parties, right? Sober, another subculture. Look out for the rise of sobriety. So it's already been a thing, but like more and more artists actually flexing, not sober curious, but like straight up sobriety. So I would say the rise of a sober consciousness, of actually people getting very serious. I would see a move away from like the cult of spirituality and movement towards advanced energy technologies, and people seeking a very private personal experience, a bio-individual experience. And that goes with wellness. I actually see the wellness industry kind of becoming a cult itself and dying off a little bit, because not dying off, but realigning itself. Something like an AG1s or an AG Greens. I mean, no shade, but a lot of these companies that are trying to get you to drink like your greens every day under the guise of it being like wildly healthy for you, and then have it be like full of toxins, is kind of a dying era, right? So that's the age of transparency, which I've talked about before, the exposure of the lie. That's the biggest trend I see coming for 2025 and beyond. And we've already started to see it, is we have been lied to, we've been bamboozled, and we're exhausted. We want authenticity. We want real. We're tired of fake, which brings me to my next point, which is why we've had this wild backlash, because we've been basically anesthetized with the Kardashians and perfection for the last really long time. And we're in this stage where people are trying to shrink themselves down into oblivion with Ozempic. And we're looking at just vapid fame having no influence anymore. We want authenticity. We want real, and we want transparency. Like, do not lie for me. Like, the age of truth, the age of transparency is upon us. And I think we're going to see short form content, ADDH content, right? 15-second video content start to die off, especially on the eve of TikTok coming and going. We're going to see the rise of long form content coming back in, where it's a slow and steady build with micro communities. I've already started to see that with myself. There's no doubt in my mind that the TikTok ban for me, being deplatformed on that app with the momentum that I had, that I was really starting to build after the second wave, was a gift. It was a gift. And it was protection, actually, from what I've been kind of shown now. It was protection. And there were so many different iterations of content I had made on TikTok for like the last 2 or 3 years. Like it was good, because if I'm going to be known for anything, I'm not going to be known for videos that I made 2 years ago. I would rather be known for the writing and what I'm doing now and the pattern connection and stuff like that. So it's just tainted. The app is just tainted, and I'm having way more fun connecting with people through writing and maintaining these smaller, more intimate communities and going deeper with a smaller group of people, even though I'm trying to fill up these groups so there can be more impact. It just makes more sense. It's better use of all of our time. And it's going to help you guys out more too, because the more people we have in groups, the more momentum we can build. The more momentum we build, the more we clear. So, if I take those parallels and I draw them back to, let's say, the early 20 or mid 20th century, there was the rise of modernity, right? So this time marks technological innovation, intellectual expansion, and the emergence of new social movements. In this period, humanity embraced modernity, breaking away from the traditional society's structures that had dominated the past. The invention of electricity, the automobile, the early developments in aviation transformed daily life and set the stage for rapid technological and industrial growth. So post-World War I Renaissance, after the devastation of World War I, there was a burst of cultural creativity, particularly during the Roaring Twenties, an era of economic prosperity and cultural innovation characterized by the Art Deco movement and the rise of jazz, cinema, and social experiments. So this is what I'm talking about, where I feel like we're in this resurgence. We're on the precipice of some really good creative art coming around, like cool generational artists, less like ass in your face kind of vibe, and more like context and depth. So the rise of authenticity and the rise of people wanting to have more of an authentic experience. So then you moved into the Great Depression, right? The 1930s, could have been seen as a period of growth followed by collapse. So systems that aren't for evolution, our evolutionary best, will collapse. And I've been talking about this. You're going to start seeing where everybody's going to get put into check. Like this cannot be sustainable. We're like the fattest, most in debt, like most addicted cohort in American history. Our kids are so separated and depressed. You know, we have 10 million Gen Z. Of the 10 million, 1.6 are females that are on OnlyFans. There's 117 million. I mean, fact check my numbers here. 117 million, I think, men in the United States. 86 million of them have an OnlyFans account, and 60% of that are married. Like, we're in a connection crisis. Okay. This was just based off of loose content I saw from a video, then I checked it, and now I can't remember the numbers, but it's roughly around there. So 1.4, I believe, are imagine Gen Zers that have an OnlyFans account. And yeah, the breakdown of people waking up to lives that they created when they were asleep, and now they're staying there because it's easy, or they're staying there for the kids. Meanwhile, the kids are scanning their environment and looking at a relationship that is complicit. They're not actually looking at a relationship that's fueled and energized by love. And kids are put first and at the center of the relationships, which here's where I get really controversial, is I actually don't believe that that is the order they should be in, because this is how you create kids that don't understand the dynamic of a relationship, and then they reincarnate the same thing that they saw, which is a relationship without love. It's a relationship for convenience. So I actually believe spouses should put their relationship first, and then the kids should come after that. And that becomes very, very challenging for women who create their identities around being a mother and create their identities around being happy only if their kids are happy, which is a whole other podcast. So then you've got mid-20th century World War II and post-war conflicts. So you have a kind of the death of innocence, which right now I 100% think we're in a version of that, especially on coming off of all of the child trafficking stuff and all the stuff that's coming out with dark, dark Illuminati cult stuff with child sacrifices, man. And you have this death of innocence right now and coming off of the rise of truth. So again, this is the same cycle. The period surrounding World War II, 1939, 1945, represents the death phase of this global cycle. War, the loss of life, and the widespread destruction left humanity facing one of its darkest chapters. The very idea of civilization as we knew was at stake. The atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that's 1945, marked a literal and symbolic death of a certain kind of technological optimism, forcing humanity to reckon with the destructive potential of modern innovation. This period can also be seen as a symbolic death for many imperial systems, the collapse of colonial empires, and the independent movements that swept through Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, the Cold War, and the division. But following World War II, the world entered a new era of tension and division. The Cold War, 1947 and 1991, symbolized a prolonged period of geopolitical strife between the capitalist West and the communist East. The Berlin Wall, Korean War, and the Vietnam War represented the fragmentation of the global order and the human cost of ideological division. Does this sound familiar to you? There was a spiritual death in the sense that the nuclear threat and the loss of faith in political systems, humanity experienced widespread distrust, fear, and existential crisis. The very fabric of societal stability felt threatened. The rebirth, right, which is what I believe that we're truly in right now. Post-war reconstruction and the modern society, the modern global society, so the 1950s to the 2000s. The post-war rebirth. After the devastation of the two world wars, the post-war world, 1945 to the 1970s, can be seen as a rebirth phase for much of the world. Countries rebuilt economically, economies boomed, and there was a surge in social mobility, consumerism, and technology. The baby boomer generation, 1946 to 1964, ushered in a period of prosperity with the growth of middle-class wealth, suburbanization, and the expansion of public education. The creation of institutions like the United Nations and the European Union and the International Monetary Fund signified humanity's desire to rebuild, collaborate, and prevent future conflict. Technological and social revolution, 1960s to the 1990s. The 1960s and 1970s marked a cultural rebirth where movements for civil rights, women's liberation, and LGBTQ plus rights reshaped social fabric. So I need to like preface this for a second, because whenever you have a rebirth of or a social revolution, which we are in, all right, systems and things that were built during this time, which were particularly created to create either further separation, further propaganda, to separate and destabilize families, and or they're going to create microcosms to bring communities together, I think is happening right now. Yes, you have a, so we're having a social revolution. We're absolutely in a collective rebirth. Is again the rise of community, micro community centered rebuilds. It's at a community level where we're more focused on taking care of our own, buying local, supporting local, putting our own nation and needs and families and communities first over constantly having to help every other country out, like under the guise of being the savior for the world, except we're basically warmongering and funding proxy wars that we don't want for power. So death and rebirth in the new millennia, 21st century, 2000 to present, the collapse of old systems. In the 21st century, we have seen the death of traditional systems in multiple ways. The 2008 financial crisis, for example, represented the collapse of a neoliberal economic model built on consumerism and global financial institutions. This period symbolized the death of old economic paradigms and the rise of new questions about capitalism, wealth distribution, and financial regulation. Environmental degradation and the global climate crisis, which that's in quotes, also signal a death phase for the old industrial models and sustainable practices that have led to resource depletion, pollution, and the abuse of our natural resources has essentially led us to this moment of where we are now. So the digital rebirth. With the rise of social media, cryptocurrencies, and digital economy, we are now entering a new age of connection, innovation, and uncertainty. The digital revolution has transformed how we communicate, work, and think, but it has also raised new questions about privacy, data ownership, and the social implications of AI and automation. Social and political movements in the 21st century, including those advocating for climate change, racial justice, gender equality, and mental health awareness reflect the rebirth of collective consciousness. However, you're also going to see the reconciliation of that because it's boomeranged into all these different bifurcations of corruption. So again, the rise of transparency and the rise of the truth revolution. I would say the truth revolution is definitely among us. So we're in a very similar cycle right now of life, death, and rebirth.
Okay, we are blowing ourselves out on misinformation. Everyone is starting to see that basically 3 to 4 companies run everything: BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, Golden State Capital. All roads lead back to the Vatican, London City, okay, the Crown, and DC. So you have the Vatican is the boss, you have London City is the money, okay, and then you have Washington, DC, of the District of Columbia, which is the army. All roads lead back to those. And once you realize that that's the game, and then you're seeing the game for what it is, you can slowly make pivots and choices and decisions to free your mind around the perceptual control and implications of those things. So you will always know how to adapt, and you will be able to utilize the system for you instead of feeling like you are the victim of it. And that is at the heart of what I am trying to help you do here, is to see the truth for what it is and not let it change you. Essentially, we are here to move beyond the illusion of separation. That is the pattern. We need to shift away from individualism and competition and towards collective unification and collaboration, where, you know, the global village is no longer a concept. It's a reality, really, that we must see ourselves as interconnected and not separate. So whether or not that comes by way of climate change and global crisis and social justice warriors online and whatever the fuck else, ultimately it comes back to reconciling the polarity within ourselves and being able to move even more and more beyond the separation of illusion from the God within us. So 2025, in a nutshell, will look like much of the same political shit of 2024, except with like wild level surprises. But look for the same patterns roughly around those times when things were really, really good, and then what happened. So we'll see what happens in the next 90 days, but I think a lot will be revealed in the next 90 days. But car industry collapsing in some way, or a bubble bursting there, financial crisis reaching kind of a limit, and the tension, kind of that bubble that needs to burst, will basically burst in 2025. And where are you going to be inside of all of that? Is 2025 going to be the same shit, a repeat of 2024, where you kind of felt pretty underwhelmed? Or are you ready just to blow everything up, go full in, continue to bet max on yourself in a way that you've never done it before, and see what shows up? Just see what shows up when you actually commit and show up for yourself consistently. Can't say that enough. Consistently. And if that literally means that you make a Sunday ritual to listen to the podcast or read a chapter from the book or whatever it is that you might do, jump into a meditation that's going to be a bi-weekly experience, do it. Literally do it. Get everything from my shop. If you do nothing else, buy everything from the shop and re-listen to that shit, and you will shift regardless. You will shift in spite of yourself. I'm rooting for you. I'm here for you. And I will speak to you guys and see you when I see you and speak to you next. Take care.